It's time to get away from it all. Doesn't matter if you say you or y'all. Let's all get out there and have some fun. Bluff City Outdoor Show is for everyone. Welcome to the Bluff City Outdoor Show.
Thank you, Perry Woods, and indeed welcome to the Bluff City Outdoor Show on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL. Tony Colombo here, back in studio with Quentin, producer Quentin, and my partner Mark McMurray, the owner of Bluff City Outdoors. Great to be back. Great to see
it's
you.
It's been a little while,
yep. Right? Yeah, we had a week off, and then before that we did the show, but you were at the convention.
Yep.
And so the gang's all here. We're all back together in the studio, so that's great. Since it's been a couple weeks since we've seen you, I want to do some catching up on various things. First, that the convention that you were at a couple weeks was the Trappers Convention. It sounded like it was very well attended. It sounded like a very cool event. The things were going well. What were some of the takeaways from your trip?
Yeah, it was good. I mean, it's just you get to see the trappers that trap. I mean, they're your hardcore guys. We did have some new people stop by that had ordered some stuff that I delivered up there for them, and so they're just getting into it. So it's fun. It's, you know, with low fur prices, it's just good to see people that want to get out and improve their deer hunting and their turkey hunting.
Yeah,
you know, knocking down the coyotes and the raccoons.
Yeah, so that's what I was gonna ask you, is that we see the primary reason for trapping right now and why the people are either getting into it or getting back into it, primarily isn't for the fur trade, but it's to protect their property, their livestock, yep, or like you said, enhance the conditions for deer, not only for the deer population, but for deer hunting purposes as well.
Yeah,
right. Those are the primary things.
Yeah, because coyotes really are hard on the fawns in the spring.
Yeah,
and every adult coyote you catch in the fall or winter, they're not there to eat in the spring. So,
yep,
you know, it does make a difference.
So I would imagine that just like everything else, you know, we've talked a lot about how the deer population, how it feels like there are more deer. And it could be, I mean, I know that the population numbers are going up a little bit, but then also we're also infringing more and more on their territory. So maybe that's why, but it feels like we're seeing deer and having more encounters with deer and other species out there than we have in the past. And if it's happening with deer and other things, then I would imagine that it's happening with coyotes.
Oh yeah.
And it's not isolated to one species.
Some species really can adapt well to, you know, raccoons are probably the best one. I mean, they are everywhere. You know, you can be within, some years ago, a guy caught within the city limits of Chicago, 400 raccoons, mainly set in cage traps by the Taco Bell dumpsters.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And just they adapt.
Yeah.
You know, and
absolutely.
You know, and they adapt real well. Coyotes adapt real well, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they'll expand their food source, you know, for what's there. You know, if you got a lot of cats and you live out kind of rural, they'll come in. If food gets scarce, they'll come in and start taking your cats and stuff.
Yep.
You know.
I gotta say, while we're talking about wildlife, the reason that we were out last week is because I took a trip to Gatlinburg with my wife. And if you listen to Colombo and Katie at all, you know that that was a big mistake. It was not the vacation we thought we were going on. And I got a lot of different stories about that. But one of the highlights, one of the cool things is we saw a bear, a real bear in the wild, and not in the woods, like just off a city street down in a storm drain creek area. Like we did go on a mountain hike where we were on a mountain in the woods, in the forest, where you think you might see a bear. No sign of bears there. But on the main strip of Gatlinburg, Tennessee, where there's thousands of people, there was a bear.
You know, they must adapt pretty well, too.
Exactly.
They know where the food's at.
Exactly. It was wild to see it in person because, you know, I've seen bears at the zoo, but I've never seen a bear in the wild before like that. So, and people were just, it was in a creek, literally just, you know, there was an overpass for cars, right? And it was right off the main strip. So there's literally thousands of people everywhere. As soon as the first person goes bear, everybody's heads start turning and everybody, where there's a bear, there's a bear, there's a bear. And everybody's running up. I posted pictures on Twitter at Tony Colombo Talk. You could see them. And you can see, like, there are hundreds of people standing on this little overpass or along the road there, looking down. This bear is 20 feet away from them. All of these people taking pictures, talking loudly, all of this pointing and yelling. And this bear couldn't give a rip. Like, he literally caught a fish in this creek and then sat there and ate the fish and then just started walking his way down wherever he was going, making his way down the creek. And there are humans everywhere pointing, yelling, taking pictures. And this thing just didn't bat an eye, didn't even glance at the people. So that is adaptation at its finest. Yes, yeah. That you
didn't care.
Don't even register that all of these people are there. In fact, we were getting, so we saw him. I'm wearing my Skybridge shirt right now. So we actually saw the bear coming down, sitting on this bench, this gondola system that takes you way up this mountain to walk across the Skybridge there in Gatlinburg. And we were actually coming down. So we were sitting like on basically a ski lift type thing, coming down that. And we go over right where the bear is. And so we're 100 feet in the air and all these people on the ground are starting to see this bear and run to it. And all the people on the sky lift, like on the ski lift thing that we're on, are seeing it and pointing to it. And so we get to the bottom and all these people are screaming. And you could see like the employees of the sky lift were kind of like, why is everybody yelling and screaming? And so as we're getting off, I look at the guy, I go, there's a bear right over there. And he goes, you're going to see him all night. I'm like, what? My wife and I were like, what did that mean? We're going to see them all night. We're like on a strip, like the Vegas freaking strip, like Branson, like picture Branson, like shopping, people, lights, cars everywhere. What do you mean we're going to see bears all night? We didn't, but apparently that's just how common they are. Yep. It was wild. It was
all
totally.
Those people leave a lot of food.
Exactly. Exactly. Yep, that's exactly right. There were signs on the mountain. Speaking of that, when there were signs on the mountain going up this the trail to get to Laurel Falls is where we were at. And that's exactly what the sign said, that, you know, if you have food and you leave wrappers on the ground or you throw, you know, your food, your garbage on the ground or whatever, then bears associate humans with food because you're the ones leaving it there. So they know now, oh, where there are humans, there are food. And it doesn't mean necessarily that humans are food, but it does attract them to humans. And then once that interaction does happen, when it's not being ignored by the bear or you're not separated by a concrete wall, you know, like
when you quit leaving the food is when you become the food.
Yes. So these signs were everywhere about how people have died because of bear interactions, because the bears associate people with food. So that was wild. That was a check. That was a box checked on my great outdoor experiences to see a bear in the wild. Have you ever seen anything like outside your typical, you know, deer, you know, raccoon.
Yeah, just the normal stuff.
Yeah. Coyote. I'm sure you've had some. Have you ever had a close encounter with a pack of coyotes?
Yes. Back when I was pretty young, and this is before they were real, real common, but there was a pack of them. I was over by Glen Carbon, and I was running some coon traps down in a ditch. And it was a creek, but there was a log, big log that went across it. And I heard them, and they were chasing something. And it turned out it was a deer. So the deer didn't run across the log, but a bunch of the coyotes, they ran across the log, and they were maybe 25 feet away.
Mm.
They didn't care about me because they were after that deer.
Well, that's good.
Yep.
Yeah, because I know coyotes are they don't want anything to do with people. They're gonna back down and they're shy, but when they have numbers and they're hungry, I mean, coyotes are not something that you want to mess with.
No, not at all.
Chances are they're not going to want anything to do with you like they were with you, and their chances are they're going to run away. But
you get out there like California, they've been known to snatch little kids.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, you know, that's crazy.
Because little kids, you know, small enough food, you know.
My daughter had her first, who works at Disney World in Orlando and lives on property down there at Disney. She's been there for almost a year now, and she saw like a month ago her first alligator in the wild. Like it was just on the side of the road, coming in and out of a little pond or lake that was there. Right off the road, she was like, "That's an alligator," and it's right there.
You have to pass on that.
Yeah, yeah. It is kind of weird that it seems like the more we do, I mean, I guess it's common sense because we're expanding and we're getting into all these areas. But like, you know, having humans and bears and humans and alligators and all of this stuff just like being right on top of each other. Seems like it's happening more and more recently than it has.
I think it does too. And then, you know, but some animals, like if you go back, you know, a couple hundred years, they're like the raccoon numbers in this country are just way greater than they were when the settlers came, because we've created food sources for them.
Right.
We've created the habitat for them to really thrive. You know, you need food, and although agriculture and stuff produces a lot of food, our barns and stuff give them housing, you know. Raccoons are lazy. If he can get food and shelter, you know, on one little farm and never have to leave it, he's going to stay.
Yeah. So it's supposed to be an absolutely beautiful weekend in the St. Louis area. Depending on when you're listening to this, if you're listening on the podcast or if you're listening on Saturday morning at 11 on News Talk STL or Sunday at noon on News Talk STL, it's supposed to be sunny and mid-70s on Saturday and sunny and mid-60s on Sunday. So that's a beautiful thing. We're going to talk to Gabe Montgomery, a.k.a. the 10 Horse Monty. He's going to be our guest in the next segment. And then, of course, we'll have the fishing report for you a little bit later on. But before we get to that, so we'll talk a lot about fishing. This is a great time to be out on the water, just a perfect time, especially on a weekend like this when it's so beautiful. Great time to be out on the water. What are you hearing from the archery guys, the Bowtechs there at Bluff City Outdoors, about the hunting season that has been going on, and just in general reports about what's been going on.
Yeah,
in the woods.
We've had a lot of customers, you know, they've already gotten a deer.
Yeah.
So it's off to a good start from what I can tell. People are getting out. That first weekend was kind of warm, but then, you know, the last couple weekends have been better as far as the weather getting out, and the crops are starting to come out of the field, so it should start getting better and better.
Yeah, I imagine you're getting that across the board in both the fishing, with the fishing stuff, and back in the archery department, everything else. This is probably a great time that people are stocking up. And
this is the time to get with it. I mean, this is the best time of the year.
It really
is.
In my
opinion.
It really is. So we'll continue that conversation, and we'll talk about what is happening out on the water, and we'll get you that fishing report a little bit later on, and have a conversation with Gabe Montgomery, a.k.a. the 10 Horse Monty. He joins us next on the Bluff City Outdoor Show on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL.
Once I pull this trigger, they're gonna haul you out of here. Hunting is a lifestyle, survival of the fittest. We own a hunt, what you want, come on.
Welcome back to the Bluff City Outdoor Show on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL. Producer Quentin in studio with myself, Tony Colombo, and Mark McMurray, the owner of Bluff City Outdoors. We're going to get the 10 Horse Monty, Gabe Montgomery, on the line in just a moment. But while we're talking about all of this, these great outdoor activities and how to best take advantage of this time of year and this great weather that we're having, one of the best ways to do that is to enjoy some grilling. And that means you need to have a bag of Rockwood Lump Charcoal alongside. I feel like I just posted a pic, just a random pic of the last time I bought a bag of Rockwood, because we were, you know, had just run out and just buying that new bag. And I took a pic and I posted it on Twitter. And I feel like I did that. I feel like that was like 2 weeks ago, and it really wasn't that long ago. And I'm already this weekend buying another bag of Rockwood Lump Charcoal just to show you how much grilling we've been doing at our home. Because with Rockwood Charcoal, one of the benefits is I can't even imagine how much money I would have wasted or charcoal I would have went through if we were talking about the traditional briquettes. Rockwood Lump Charcoal, superior in so many ways. It gives you more control. It burns hotter. It burns faster. And you don't need nearly as much of it as you do with the traditional briquettes to have, you know, your standard grilling session. So next time you are grilling, make sure you have a bag of Rockwood Lump Charcoal alongside. Not only does it have all of those benefits, but you're also supporting a small local business and you're supporting local industry. Missouri is the number one charcoal maker in the country. So you're supporting, you know, Missouri industry, Missouri jobs. You're supporting a great local business and you're using the number one ranked charcoal 9 years running nationwide. So many great things with Rockwood. You can find Rockwood Lump Charcoal at over 100 area locations, including every Ace Hardware store. Find the closest one to you and pick up some grilling tips and tricks all at rockwoodcharcoal.com. All right. As I mentioned, we will, as always, get you that fishing report a little bit later on at the end of the show. So in the next segment, and one of the regular contributors to that report is on the line with us now, Gabe Montgomery, a.k.a. the 10 Horse Monty from the 10 Horse Monty YouTube channel is with us. And Gabe, as always, really appreciate your time, especially on a weekend like this. This has got to be an exciting time for you and everybody else who, you know, likes to enjoy the great outdoors. This is about as good as it gets in our area, is it not?
I agree 100%. thanks for having me on. It's always nice to be on here and share the passion of the great outdoors. Yeah, I'm sitting here. I just pulled over to take my little break in the afternoon as I'm working, and I'm looking out at just a beautiful, beautiful scene.
Yes.
Other than I'm sitting here on blacktop and I'm sitting out
yeah,
on water.
Instead of water.
That's the only thing that's wrong with this picture, but it's definitely nice. This is my favorite time of year. I just love these, you know, 50 degree mornings and these 70 degree days. It's hard to beat. For sure.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. So Mark, we were just talking in that last segment about, you know, what you're hearing from guys, both fishermen and people, hunters out in the woods. And we'll get into this as we go through this conversation and, of course, when we get into the fishing report. But is there any big change as far as, like, shopping patterns or what people are buying? Or is it just a – since this is such a great time to fish, there's just people buying more of the same stuff?
Yeah, it's basically that. I mean, you're a fisherman. I mean, we'll see you up swinging like crappie rod sales,
mm-hmm.
you know, things like that. And you'll see that last about through Thanksgiving while that fall bite's really strong, you know, and then things swing over to Christmas shopping.
Yeah.
But yeah, you see an uptick in especially crappie rods.
Yeah. Gabe, for you, does anything change? Not necessarily, and we can get into this other stuff in a minute, but not necessarily with equipment or, you know, how you're fishing, but the schedule of fishing. You know, we're just a couple weeks away from the time change, and obviously it's darker earlier now, and that's going to change dramatically. It's also pretty dark for a much longer part of the morning right now. So, like, if you do have a day where you're going to get to go fishing, or maybe you have a day where you have to, like, make a decision. You know, I have a few hours that I can go out and get on the water and have some fun. What window is it right now that you would pick? What differences, if any, are there right now than there are maybe, like, in the middle of the summer?
Yeah, you're kind of getting into the time frame where the fish will feed all day on the right days. In the summertime, it's kind of a low light condition. So first couple hours in the morning, the last hour and a half of the day, and then they'll typically be a lunchtime feed, you know, around noonish. Right now, the fish seem to feed a little bit more throughout the day. It's a little more consistent. You do have to cover a lot more water to find the fish, but it doesn't seem like it's limited to just the first couple hours. They're feeding up for the fall, so the water has cooled off a lot. They're becoming more active, and this is a time of the year where a lot of people have tournaments. If you're talking about schedule, a lot of tournaments are on people's schedules. So I know I fished one last week and one a couple weeks before that. I've got another one coming up with Mike Marfell in 2 weeks at Lake of the Ozarks. And I was just right before we got on the phone, I was watching the BFL regional is at Lake of the Ozarks, and they were doing the weigh-in down there. But you know, one thing that I've been trying to adjust, that I've been trying to do to make an adjustment on, is getting out on the water a little bit earlier, because it gets dark a lot earlier. I'm typically like, I stay up late editing videos, and I'm not a guy that gets on the water early. I kind of stroll into the boat ramp about 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock. Mm-hmm. Well, if I do that now, you know, about 4:30, 5 o'clock, I can start sensing. It's like, well, it's starting to get dark already. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of in, my mind is still in that, oh, I get to fish till 8:30.
Yeah,
but really,
right.
It's like 6 o'clock, it's starting to change a lot. So I've been trying to get out there a little bit earlier. And it kind of sneaks up on you. It's just a couple minutes a day. It's getting darker earlier. And next thing you know, it's 30 minutes earlier. And,
yeah. Yep.
Like you see the time change is coming. And then that really puts a limit on, you know, fishing, especially if you've only got a couple hours. You got to go early, because it's going to get dark.
Yeah.
A lot sooner.
Yeah. And it's so true, Mark. I don't know what it is. Like, I know, my brain knows that this happens all year long. It never stops. It always, sunrise and sunset always changes by a minute or two every single day, all year round. It's constantly in flux. But there's something about this time of year where it feels like it changes an hour.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about it's about to change an hour for real with the time change, but it feels like it changes an hour over the course of a week or two. I don't know what it is, but it just really is noticeable this time of year.
Yeah, you notice it. I think it has to do with, you know, the cooling off too, just sort of send something
true.
Through your body. And it could also be that every day those 2 minutes become a smaller segment of the daylight hours.
Oh, that's true.
You know, so
it kind of compounds.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good one.
Yeah.
I'm going to use that as my reason why it feels that way.
that makes sense. I never thought about that.
Yeah. So Gabe, you touched on something there that I think is important, and hopefully like something that people can take advantage of, because there are definitely days I'll be, you know, if we're at the Lake of the Ozarks or whatever, it's a family vacation, so I'm not going to be spending the whole day out in the water, but I know that I can, you know, sneak down for maybe a couple hours in the morning and then maybe a couple hours again in the evening, or, you know, maybe even in the middle of the day around lunchtime. And there are definite periods of time that I feel like I cannot catch a fish unless I go out at first light or at sunset. I feel like, you know, like it's so much more. I'll go out at first light and I'll catch a couple of, you know, big old pigs. And it's just like, this is what's the problem, everybody? This is as easy as it gets. You know, everybody acts like this is hard. And then, you know, you'll try to go out in the middle of the day and it's just like, you can't catch it. I can't even get a bite. I can't even find anything. So, you know, that can get very frustrating. And I know I'm not nearly on your level, but like, I definitely noticed that. And maybe this time of year, correct me if I'm wrong, it's not that dramatic of a difference. You can kind of catch fish throughout the day a little bit easier and not have to be so reliant on being out, you know, at either sunrise or sunset. Is that a fair sort of assessment of where we're at?
Yeah, I would agree with that. I would agree with that. And it depends on what fish you're chasing as far as the areas and the pattern that you're trying to run. A lot of shallow fish will tend to feed early in the morning, and then there could be a little bit of lull, and then they can slide back up. I'm talking this time of year, but your fish that are out deeper, that are set up on, that are relating to brush piles and stuff, a lot of times they need that sun to come up. In the morning, they're more roaming. Say we're talking about fishing a main lake point that drops off into 20 foot, and there's a brush pile in 15. A lot of those fish that will use that piece of cover to feed in, they're kind of roaming around a little bit. They may have slid up a little shallower to feed, but when that sun gets up, it pulls them into that brush, to that cover, and it makes them easier to catch. So those are fish that become more vulnerable when the sun is actually up, where a lot of the shallower fish, your bite might be better first thing in the morning. But there's also something to do with the cold, cool mornings. If you get several mornings where it's in the low 40s, a lot of times it can be just slow in general up shallow or wherever. And once that sun gets up, it kind of starts heating the surface of the water. The bugs start getting active. The bait that's in the grass or up the shallow around wood and stuff starts feeding a little bit, and it kind of gets the whole cycle going. So it's a little bit different than the summer. You know, summer, the water temperature really doesn't drop a whole lot, but you have a couple really cool days that water temperature will drop, and it does take a few hours for things to get going. So that's why I say you can catch fish throughout the day more so in the fall than you can in the summertime. And you get some sort of a little front pushing through. Like yesterday, I was out on the lake and it was a phenomenal bite. The wind was blowing. Mm. It was cloudy and they were chomping. I had a fish. I had about a 5-plus pounder jump all the way over my frog. Well, actually jump up out of the water and land on top of my frog. He ate it from the top.
Ah! It was, wow.
He just looked like a dolphin coming out of the water. And I saw it all. I got it on video. I was like, holy
that's amazing.
Cow. That's how aggressive they were. That's how they were chomping. They weren't everywhere, but when you got in the right spot, you caught like 3 or 4 or 5 bites really quick. So if you weren't getting bit, you just weren't around the fish. But that's kind of that fall bite that can happen. It can be tough, but they're feeding. You just got to figure out where they're at, and that just takes that's just a matter of being disciplined and covering water, not getting lazy and fishing the same little areas.
I got to see that video, Mark.
Yes, that's a good one.
I can't wait to see that.
I haven't reviewed the footage yet, so I don't know. I'm pretty sure I got it on my chest cam, but
that's awesome.
Yeah, it was a visual.
That is,
and it went
super
straight
cool.
In the grass, and I didn't know if I was going to get it out, and I ended up pulling in like 17 pounds of grass, and I couldn't tell if there was a fish in there, but as I got closer to the boat,
I
see the tail sticking out, and I'm like, there's
that's
a fish in there somewhere. I just got to get it out.
Right.
Yeah.
He's in here somewhere. Exactly. Speaking of that great great video footage of Gabe out on the water, 10 Horse Monty YouTube channel is some of the best content out there. What are some of the latest things that you have posted? And just for people that haven't checked out the YouTube channel yet, remind them, you know, what it's all about and what they can find if they follow the 10 Horse Monty on YouTube.
Yeah, I got a couple recent tournament videos, some BFLs from Lake of the Ozarks. I have a practice BFL video from Kentucky Lake. I'm working on the actual BFL tournament. A Kentucky Lake. These are within the last month. That should be coming. I was trying to get it ready today, but I've just been working so much. I've got a ton of content. I just haven't had time to edit it.
Yeah.
I did a really good shaky head video. So most of us think about a shaky head. We think of a 5-inch worm or something small, but I just talk about the different baits that you can put on a shaky head, like a crawl or a beaver style bait, a brush hog. You can basically anything you can Texas rig, you can put on a shaky head. And I feel like a lot of people forget that, and they just want to do it. They just want to fish a worm on a shaky head. But that's one of the latest videos. I did a punching video that I dropped Thursday. Punching is something that really turns on in the fall. It's an ounce to ounce and a half weight, punching it through the grass to reach those fish that won't come up on a frog. I've got several videos, technique specific videos that I have laid out, and I have the clips. I just have to get time to piece it all together and do the things that are necessary to get it out there. So, I try to drop videos on Wednesdays and Fridays, and we do a live stream on Tuesdays. The live streams are awesome.
If the listeners
haven't checked out any of the live streams, it's usually a pro or it's someone who has done really well in tournaments. You'll learn.
It's usually a pro or Mike Marfell. It's okay to say.
Mike Marfell's been on there. Yes, he's been on there. We need to have him back on. He's always good on there. It's a good time, though. It's a great way to learn stuff. You can ask people a question and they'll answer. There's
no
dumb questions.
It's true. I've done it. I've asked a question and got them answered. I've done it. It's true. He's not kidding. It's a great way to hear those stories and get some specific questions answered and pick up just a lot of great knowledge. And I would say that all the videos on the 10 Horse Monty YouTube channel can accomplish that for you. Before we take this break and we get into the fishing report, we'll get into, you know, the specifics of kind of what to expect and kind of look for out there this time of year. But you mentioned, you know, these couple of recent trips and a couple tournaments that you've been in. Any like overall takeaway or something that maybe stood out or surprised you about something that was working or wasn't working or seems to be like a trend that everybody's on right now? Was there any kind of consistency through line that that stood out in the recent tournaments or recent trips that you've taken that you know, maybe sort of exclusive to this time of year, or maybe just like I said, maybe like a new fad or something that's out there?
Well, I know a live scope is a hot topic. We've talked about it before.
It's a good one.
I was able to, with a guy who is a master at the art of live scoping, and I was able to see how his discipline, his homework, meaning when he did pre-fish, this was on Kentucky Lake, he marked probably 50 or 60, 70, I don't know how many, that we fished probably 50 or 60 spots that day, but he marked that many brush piles and little small pieces of wood, and he was disciplined enough to just make a few casts at each piece of cover. If it didn't look right, he didn't see the fish there, and he would move on. And I got to see how somebody who is a really, really successful tournament fisherman runs their pattern throughout the day and doesn't waste time in certain locations if it doesn't look right. He had what is called breaks. So on the power poles are a shallow water anchor, he had a trolling motor on each power pole. So as he's live, he's on his trolling motor going forward at 6-7 miles, you know, say he's going forward at speed 6 or 7 on the trolling motor. When he sees what he wants, he hits those brakes that are on his power poles, and it stops him in his tracks instead of having to turn the trolling motor around.
That's pretty cool.
It was crazy. He had a whole system, and he was a master at it. His casting was cool. So that's something that has become a trend the last couple of years, but to be able to see somebody that has really fine-tuned that art go out there, and he won the tournament. So it was very, very mind-opening, because I have the technology, but I don't have the time to master like he does.
Right.
But being somebody who – it's just like sitting next to Jimi Hendrix and watching him play a guitar.
Right.
Play acoustic guitar.
Some agility, and that's not really a word that you use very often when you're talking about fishing, but it does.
It gives you
like – to be able to start and stop and be in an exact spot, you know, quicker than you know, you otherwise would have been able to be. And I could definitely see how that would give you an advantage.
Yep.
That's really cool.
It's a trend you're going to see on a lot of these boats. I know Bassmaster, a lot of people were kind of holding off on upgrading, getting too crazy on their electronics, because there was rumblings that Bassmaster may implement a 48-inch screen regulation, meaning you could have 4 12-inch graphs on your boat, or maybe 1 forward-facing sonar transducer, and they kind of gave the go-ahead. So it's the Wild West that you can do whatever you want. You're going to see more people with more technology.
That's a cool story, and something that we will definitely continue to keep an eye on. We're talking to Gabe Montgomery, a.k.a. the 10 Horse Monty from the 10 Horse Monty YouTube channel, and he's going to stick around so we can get you the fishing report. The weekly fishing report is coming next here on the Bluff City Outdoor Show on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL. We do it like every day. God bless the USA. No way we'll ever stop. Welcome back to the Bluff City Outdoor Show on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL. Supposed to be a beautiful weekend out there, depending on when you are listening, whether you're one of the many that listen on the podcast, because you can pick up the Bluff City Outdoors Show podcast on basically every podcast platform there is. We put the show out every week as a podcast on basically every podcast platform. So Spotify, Apple, Amazon, Google, many, many more. Also, the Bluff City Outdoors Facebook page. You can find the podcast there each and every week. So whether or not you're listening there, or you're listening on Saturday at 11 a.m. on News Talk STL, or Sunday at noon on News Talk STL, supposed to be a beautiful weekend. Hopefully you get a chance to get out there. And that is why we like to bring you the weekly fishing report to sort of help you out with what's going on out there. And before we end our conversation with our guest, He is one of the many great responders, reporters, I should say, on our weekly fishing report. Gabe Montgomery, the 10 Horse Monty from the 10 Horse Monty YouTube channel. Gabe, before we let you go, get us started here and let us know what you're seeing out there. You're part of the fishing report.
Yeah, so I've been out in Southern Illinois lakes over the last couple weeks, and it's definitely turning to fall for sure. The grass has peaked out. The water level has dropped, so there's lots of good, juicy mats, which is something I really look forward to this time of the year. Lake of Egypt, there's a group of fish that have started to move out deeper and set up on the deeper shad balls, so you can target those fish by just idling around looking for shad, looking for the bass that are relating to those shad. And Egypt's got a really great population of shallow fish as well. They're relating to the grass, so you can do whatever you want. Kincaid, I was over at Kincaid recently, and there was a really good frog bite, and that's something else, something I really enjoy doing. So it's kind of a 1-2 deal over there. You can punch through that grass, or you can throw that frog. Typically, if they don't come up that frog, you just go in after them, punch for grass. You got to keep your head down. You got to look for areas that have a lot of activity. You're listening for minnows and bait and stuff popping in the grass. You're looking for green grass. Any kind of wood cover that's in that grass is a potential hot spot. But if you're not getting bit in an area, it doesn't feel right, you need to pick up your trolling motor and fire up the big outboard and move to another location.
Yeah.
Water temps, mid-60s to very, very low 70s. And everything is clear right now. I mean, we haven't had rain in quite a while, so we're talking 5 foot, 6 foot, 7 foot visibility, and this is just going to continue to get stronger for the next month. So get out there, enjoy this weather, enjoy this good fishing.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. We're kind of in that perfect time of the year where it's going to be a whole lot of fun. Gabe, really appreciate your time as always, my friend. Make sure you check out more of Gabe's stuff at the 10 Horse Monty YouTube channel, and we'll talk to you soon. Thanks so much for your time.
Okay. Great Thanks. Stuff. Appreciate it. You guys have a great day.
Back at you.
Thanks, Gabe.
Great stuff there from Gabe Montgomery. Mark McMurray, take it away.
Yep, we'll run over to Truman Lake with Jordan Lear. He's a buddy and a guide down there. Crappie are good. Fish 15 to 30 feet of water, 12 to 25 feet down. Fish the standing timber on the main lake flats and brush piles. Crappie bonds tipped with minnows are working great. Catfish are good, drifting main lake flats from 30 to 48 feet with a fresh shad, live or cut. Bass, fair, fish the main lake points and brush piles. Half-ounce football jigs around the brush piles from 10 to 15 feet. Square bill crankbaits, 10-inch plastic worms, and brush hogs. Topwater baits still working well, buzz baits, and whopper ploppers. Walleye, poor, fish the main lake humps into points. Crawler hornerses and trolling crankbaits on the main lake flats 10 to 15 feet. White bass and hybrids are good. Fish the main lake points into chunk rock banks with rooster tails, 3-inch sliders and with eighth-ounce heads. Pop-Rs and spooks, fish the banks and the points where the wind is blowing in on them. Jason Kaiser, Mark Twain Fishing Intel, water temp 63 to 65. Crappie are anywhere from 8 to 20 feet of water in the brush laydowns. Both minnows and jigs are working good. Water clarity is clear to slightly stained. He had no report on bass or catfish. Carlisle, Eric Morey, he's on my pro staff. Carlisle Lake is at 444.98 and the water temp is 64 degrees. The whites have been hitting on the rocks on small spinners and curly tails. Fall crappie bite is really starting to take off, and it should just get better as we go. Local rivers and lakes, again, Eric Morey. Local lakes are mid-60s, water temps. Crappie bite is kicking off pretty well. Largemouth bite is doing real well, starting to feed heavy for the winter. Catfish are still biting on the river with some big fish being caught. I can relate to that. Fall brawl last week, winning total, 2 fish, 159.
Wow.
2 fish.
Wow. That's awesome.
And we'll go out to Rend. Rend is on fire.
I'm
just going to say that. So many customers are heading there. It's on fire. And that's going to cover it. Over to you, Tony.
That's great. Yeah, we just, when we were traveling to Gatlinburg, we went right past Rend Lake. And it's been several years since I've been out there, but it feels like every year when we're doing these fishing reports that we go through, it, like every other body of water, it kind of goes an up and down pattern, but Rend Lake continues to be
a great place to
fish, you know, and certain times of the year, it's like right now, it's just, you know, you're not going to find anything better. We'll go out to Lake of the Ozarks. Mark McMurray and his Lake of the Ozarks Bass Report. Not Mark McMurray. Mike Marfell. You're Mark McMurray. Mike Marfell and his Bass Report from the Lake of the Ozarks. Water temperature, 70 to 73 degrees. Lake level is about 2.5 feet below full pool. Bass are starting to push shallow, but not all have made that move yet. Seems to be in that typical early fall period where you have fish being caught deep, 20 to 35 feet in brush piles, and a big percentage of the population is in the 8 to 15 foot zone, wanting to get shallow, and then you have the rest that have made that move and are in less than 4 feet of water up feeding on gizzard shad. Pick your favorite zone and go to work, but keep in mind that not a huge population of fish will be in any one zone or area, so you'll need to keep moving until you find the fish. It's something that Gabe Montgomery said as well. Biggest bags being weighed recently have come on topwater and glide baits. If you choose to go that route, you must lock it in your hands and throw it all day, looking for 5 to 7 good bites. Other baits working are jigs and soft plastics. Big willow leaf spinner bait. Available at?
Yep, just a big willow leaf. Yep.
A chatterbait. Remember that color does not matter as long as it's some sort of green pumpkin.
Yep, that's pretty much.
That never fails either.
Yeah, that's your number one color in almost everything.
No matter how long we do this or what time of year it is, there's always just some consistency.
Yep, green pumpkins, that's the color.
Yep. He says, as always, stay safe and be kind and courteous to your fellow anglers. Wear that life jacket and kill switch when the outboard is being used. Still enough big boats out that if running at speed, keep your eye out for the big rollers and have fun out there. And that is good stuff, as always, from Mike Marfell and Mark McMurray and everyone else who is a part of.
We got a couple minutes to just about the fall brawl real quick.
We do. I was just going to ask you. Yeah, we do have a couple minutes. Go ahead.
Yeah, so that's a tournament that we put on there at the shop. It's 23 hours of fishing. Starts Friday night, ends Saturday night. And we allow both boat teams and bank teams to fish. And we always do it about that time of the year. And it was just a tremendous 2-fish limit. We do it that way. So a bank team just has to have a hawk trough, you know, to keep their fish alive. It's easier for them.
Yeah.
But we ended up 159-pound 2-fish
limit. Two fish. Yeah,
I mean, I don't know how they couldn't be both huge fish, but, you know, like the one year at the Catfish Classic, the team that had 96 pounds, they had a 93-pound fish and a 3-pound fish.
Yep.
Were these both like 70, 80-pound fish?
So the first one they weighed, and this is what was kind of nice, they could come in and weigh one fish at a time and then go back out.
Yeah.
So they weighed in Saturday morning a 93-pounder.
Woo!
And it's just going, oh, my gosh, what a beauty. And
Quentin's face.
And then they went back out. And then
that's a big-ass fish.
That's a big fish. Then they went back out because they had a 20-pounder in there with
them.
Insane. And they go, man, I think we can beat that because they still had all day to fish Saturday. And so they went back out. And then right after them, a bank team came in with an 85-pounder and a 24-pounder. So we had a bank team finish second with 109 pounds.
Yeah.
But then those guys that had the 93, they came back about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and they had I think it was 65, 63 pounds, somewhere, 66, that's what it was. And I just go, this is great.
What a tournament.
Yep.
What an awesome tournament. And yeah, when you're like me, when you're a bass fisherman like me, I mean, you know, like I'm familiar enough with catfishing to know how big they get. But, you know, when you're used to like a 7 or 8 pound fish is the biggest thing you've ever seen, you can't even comprehend a 100-pound fish.
Yeah, it's mind-numbing to see them that big.
That's awesome.
You know,
and they're all right here.
They're all right here.
Right here in our area. They're all right, you know, just a few minutes away from wherever you are listening to this. They're all just a few minutes away from that, which is absolutely incredible. Great stuff. And don't forget about Bluff City Outdoors. They're on Broadway about a mile east of Fast Eddie's in Alton, Illinois. Been there for decades for fishermen in the area. And now also the hunters, especially in the archery realm, and trappers and more. It's a great time to be out in the great outdoors, and make sure you prepare for your next trip into the great outdoors by visiting Bluff City Outdoors in Alden. Again, about a mile east of Fast Eddie's there on Broadway. Of course, you can learn more by following Bluff City Outdoors on Facebook and at BluffCityOutdoors.com. And of course, every week right here with us on the Bluff City Outdoors show. That's going to do it for this week's show. For producer Quentin and Mark McMurray, I'm Tony Colombo. Thanks so much for listening to another edition of the Bluff City Outdoors show on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL.